Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Since 1980, dozens of feature films and television movies have been shot on location across Ohio, including Central Ohio. Cincinnati and Cleveland have active film offices working to lure film projects. The state has operated a film office on and off for decades. Right now, the office is open for business with a $10 million budget. Of course, we invited a representative from the office to join the show, but they declined. Coming up later, television star, film director, and Bexley native Josh Radner and Bexley resident and feature film producer Matt Myers will be joining us. Joining us now is Los Angeles Times business columnist Michael Hiltzik. Michael is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author who has covered business, technology, and public policy for more than 25 years. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Ken Droz. Ken is a publicist and independent film consultant. He returned to his home state of Michigan in 2008 to help launch the state's film office there. Funding for the operation has since been sharply curtailed, and I hope you can fill us in on some more details about that. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it very much.
Question for our listeners. Should Ohio provide tax breaks for film companies to shoot films here? If so, should we be encouraging some types of films and not others? Is there any policy that could be done in the process? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your question or comment there. You can tweet us at @AnnFisherWOSU. In 2010, Ohio's motion picture tax credit was enacted to give filmmakers an extra incentive to shoot in our state. The tax credit, it's administered by the Ohio Film Office, was funded at $10 million for the next 2 years. We've been told the tax credit is awarded to distribute funding in all regions of the state and encouraging local filmmakers as well as attracting projects from out of state. Michael, you've written about these sorts of film subsidies and tax credits, how Louisiana launched the first program in 2002, and now 41 states have enacted similar subsidies. You're concerned that these programs almost never pay for themselves. Why don't they?
Well, they don't because the jobs that they attract from outside are almost always temporary jobs. These workers come into your state to work on a shoot, and then they leave. The jobs that are created in the state by these subsidies are generally very low-paid craft jobs, often minimum wage, and very few states have actually managed to use these incentives to create a lasting infrastructure. In fact, all the evidence shows that they are money losers, that states get back a fraction of the tax revenue they spend for to subsidize Hollywood films.
So then, Ken Droz, what's the call for this?
What's the call for?
Yeah, well, why do it if it doesn't generate the revenue or it doesn't pay back at least what you're putting into it?
There's a variety of reasons that states take to that kind of direction, different motivations, different situations for each state of where they are. You mentioned a point a second ago that I wanted to, I forgot it real quick, but, you know, in terms of it doesn't pay for themselves, and everyone has to, I guess my main point is that the legislators and the public need to do their due diligence to really know full out what they want to achieve from it, what their objectives are, what the cost will be, and the overall big picture. Some states may or may not necessarily realize that, and that's the onus on the legislators. There's a reason that 40-plus states get into this, and some for different reasons. If for Ohio's sake, you have a fund for $10 million, that's not that big of an investment. It's kind of like a vanity thing. And if you want to showcase cities like Columbus or Cleveland, like Cleveland is doing with the Avengers and whatnot, or you want musical-themed films to kind of complement the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something like that, you know, then it may be worth the while. It depends on the percentage of the credit that the state is going to give. Michigan went in full bore, and, you know, everyone in L.A. told the governor, go big or go home, because there are many states. There is competition. Louisiana has done very well, and they have been satisfied with the success, and they took the cap and the sunset off last year. And this is a very fiscally conservative governor, Bobby Jindal, who went into it after it had already started and was very satisfied with the progress. I do disagree with some of what Michael's saying in that, you know, it takes some time at the very beginning. If a state doesn't have much of an industry, then, yeah, at the beginning there won't be much hardcore crafted type of jobs that locals will be taking. Michigan, it was in a very different situation and a very unique situation. I mean, it's no secret the state was pulverized economically. They really needed to diversify the economy and find some kind of horse to hitch a trailer to get it out of the morass that it was in. And there was a very, very large film industry here for many, many years. There was more footage of film shot in Michigan and any state, including California, during the 50s and 60s when the automotive business was thriving, a lot of industrial films, a lot of commercials. So there was that kind of workforce that had been depleted over the last decade. So they went in really strong, and there was a huge, huge effort to train this workforce, to get some infrastructure, to be less reliant on out-of-state personnel. So the tax structure coming in, the revenues generated, the multiplier effect would be a little higher than it would be if you're a very virginal type of state.
Yeah. Let me respond to some of what Ken said.
Sure, Michael Hilsett.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, the bottom line is that there's only one reason for a state to enact an incentive like this, or an incentive for any industry, and that's to create more economic activity and more tax revenue than it spends. All of the evidence that we've seen from every state shows that almost never happens. Even Louisiana, which has been at this for longer than any other state, and actually has created something of an infrastructure. Well, the latest studies in Louisiana by the Louisiana film authorities say that for every dollar it spends in tax incentives, it gets back 24 cents. Now, that is, the bottom line is, that's a money loser. All of these other supposed ancillary benefits that Ken talks about, tourism, promoting your cities and all that, I think that's really marginal stuff, and I doubt that it, to any great extent, actually takes place. I mean, a movie company can shoot in Columbus or Cleveland, and 99.9% of the viewers of that production will have no idea that they're looking at Columbus or Cleveland.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't a lot of this start with Canada giving out film incentives and attracting a lot of business away from L.A.?
What happened with Canada was that Canada was a great beneficiary of the exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and the Canadian dollar, and that made it very, very cheap or relatively cheap for California or American film productions to shoot in Canada. Now, they were very smart about it. They added further incentives to the advantage that they had from the exchange rate. But the bulk of the attraction of Canada, of shooting in Canada for many, many years, was the exchange rate. When the Canadian dollar moved closer to parity with the U.S. dollar, a lot of that activity came back home. Well, now the Canadian dollar is once again at a favorable exchange rate, so we're losing productions again to Canada. But most of that, and often most of the other overseas attractiveness is the exchange rate. It's not incentives. And certainly within the United States, there's no exchange rate benefit. It's all incentives.
What about labor costs?
Well, labor costs are certainly cheaper in many other states than they are in Hollywood or in California. But on the other hand, you have much more experienced labor, crafts workers, certainly above the line talent, that is to say directors and actors, in California than you have in other states. So, yes, the labor costs are often an advantage, but I think on its own that would not be enough to attract productions on the scale that they're leaving California for other states.
My guests are Ken Droz, publicist and independent film consultant, and also Michael Hiltzik, business columnist for the L.A. Times. They're going to be on for a few more minutes if you have a question or comment for them. We're talking about the film industry and Ohio's motion picture tax credit. Tax credit, it's $10 million a year that they have to spend. It was enacted to give filmmakers an extra incentive to shoot in the Buckeye State. Give us a call, 614 614- 292-8513 if you have a question or comment. It seems Canada started with these incentives back in the 90s. Now 42 states offer some kinds of incentive. It seems like it's one of those things that if you don't offer it, you're just doing it to keep up with the Joneses at this point. Ken?
That's true.
Because states are competing, they're competing with each other now.
Well, yeah, and you know, just like the U.S. is competing with international competitors. You know, like Michael's saying, a lot of producers. You know, it's come down to a national versus international scenario too, because a lot of producers will go overseas to shoot. So a lot of those dollars are going to leave the country anyway, as well as. And I understand Michael's. He's a good journalist, but I mean, I know Southern California has been hurt very much in a large way, and their workforce, their industry has been hit severely over the last 10 years by this proliferation of film activity going all over the country. It is part of states competing with each other, and Ohio is, trying to take a bite out of it, because some of it's pride. You know, your governor, I think, said, we stuck it to Michigan when the film Avengers left Michigan to go to Ohio, because they were here, they were spending money, and our governor, our legislature passed it 147-1. There was a lot of turnover in the legislature, a lot of term limits, mm-hmm. and some people changed their mind, and then the governor said, well, we're going to cap it at $25 million.
Right. Well, I might point out, in response to what Ken said, that that question of pride, that's insane. There's no worse reason to institute a film incentive program than to stick it to another state, because you're going to lose money. You're going to lose money doing it. And there's one other aspect of this that I think doesn't get discussed enough, though I've tried to discuss it in my column, and that is every state that we're talking about has limited budget, a finite budget. Mm-hmm. And the question that never gets discussed is, if you don't spend this money on a film incentive, what else do you spend it on? Well, there are no studies that I've ever seen that say, here are the choices. If you're going to subsidize an industry, where do you get the most bang for the buck? And there's absolutely no evidence. There's no evidence in California, much less Louisiana or Georgia or Ohio or Michigan, that subsidizing film productions gives you a bigger bang for the buck than subsidizing some other industry, whether it's auto manufacturing or software development or what have you. And that's a real vacuum of information. And it just because Hollywood has a high-powered lobbying effort in every state to get these incentives, and there's glitz for Hollywood, and people think it's going to add luster to their state, they get these incentives, but they simply do not pay. They cost more than subsidies for many, many other industries. They don't produce the jobs that people expect. It's really a race to the bottom, and it's going to hurt all taxpayers.
See, I mean, that the thing I have a problem with that is that it goes beyond a strict spreadsheet dollars out, dollars in scenario. I mean, here in Michigan, there's the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, and they've looked at different industries, and in the past when Governor Granholm was looking at new industries, and there was a study from an economist in Lansing, the Anderson Group, that looked at some of these subsidies, that some paid off better than others, and some do pay off in terms of the generation of an industry and the infrastructure that started. And Michigan went in, besides film, alternative energy, and batteries and things like that, that there was an industry that hadn't really taken foothold in the United States. With Michigan, I mean, and Ohio runs into this too with Cleveland. The image of this state had been so decimated, so there's some of it does go into an investment into both tourism and for other industries to come to Michigan. You want to go to a place that is an enjoyable a well-rounded environment to live, work, recreate, raise your children.
Well, quality of life. Quality of life.
You can't be dismissive of tourists. Southern California, but you have to admit, this tourism industry was founded on the shoulders of the film and entertainment industry. All that I can.
Well, I'm not sure that's at all true. I think that was the film industry with I'm sorry, I don't think it's at all true that tourism in California was founded by the on the shoulders of the film industry. I think that's what the film industry would like us to believe, but the fact of the matter is that it's the natural attractions of this state and the weather that really attracted, in fact, attracted film companies mm-hmm. to California. So the natural benefits were here first. And frankly, if the entire film industry went away tomorrow, you would still get 5-10 million people a year coming to see Disneyland and coming to see Universal Studios.
We're gonna have to end it here. Unfortunately, it's certainly ripe topic for debate, and I want to thank you, Michael Hiltzik, for joining us today to participate.
My pleasure.
And also Ken Droz, thank you, Ken, for joining us today.
Thank you, man.
Ken is a publicist and independent film consultant in the state of Michigan. He returned there to help launch the state's film office. Michael Hiltzik is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author who has covered business, technology, and public policy for more than 25 years. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation about the film industry in Ohio and other states and competing with Hollywood. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Europe in Trouble. We'll look at the continent's financial peril and its potential spillover. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins later this afternoon. It starts at 1 o'clock. This is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us today for All Sides with Ann Fisher. 71 degrees in downtown Columbus. High school football has never had a higher profile. In Northwest Arkansas, Frontline examines one ambitious high school team working its way toward national renown. But the show also documents a crucial lack of athletic trainers at most high schools. And raises a critical question. Has the amped-up culture of high school football outrun necessary protections for the boys who play the game? Watch Frontline Football High, Tuesday night at 10 on WOSU-TV. Sunny skies today and a high of 78 degrees. Clear skies tonight and a low of 55. Sunny skies for Tuesday and a high of 82. Partly cloudy Tuesday night, a low of 61. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Today on All Sides, we're talking about film production incentives and if and how they work to encourage filmmakers to come to the state, to any state. Coming up later, television star and film director and Bexley native Josh Radner and Bexley resident and feature film producer Matt Myers. The Ohio Film Office has attracted 24 films, television series, and commercials to the state with its motion picture tax credit. We invited a representative of the office to join us for the show, and they declined. Right now, we welcome Dawn Keyser. Dawn is director of the Pittsburgh Film Office. Since 1994, she has attracted dozens of feature film and television projects to the southwestern Pennsylvania region. Thanks for joining us, Dawn.
Thanks for having me.
We just had a feisty little debate about whether tax incentives work in the film industry. In other words, when a state like Ohio invests $10 million in tax incentives for the film industry, do they really get back even what they put into it? And most of the research says they don't.
Well, I would beg to differ, and I would have been on the side of the debate that the tax incentives is what recreated the film industry in Pennsylvania and primarily in southwestern Pennsylvania. We put a significant film tax credit in place 5 years ago and have seen our production numbers go through the roof. Batman just wrapped up yesterday. It was our 103rd feature film being shot in the region. And they had a great experience and spent lots of money, hired lots of locals, and things are going great here.
You're in California.
Currently, right now, I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
You're in Pittsburgh. Okay, but you work...
I'm based full-time in L.A. I come back to Pittsburgh once a month.
And I wondered about that, the relationships and building of relationships. Like, money's one thing, but you're right there in California, right in Los Angeles, seeing you know, with the people, in the industry. It's not, your office isn't 1,000 miles away.
Absolutely. This business, like almost any business, is all based on relationships. People like to buy from people they know. If you think about who you're going to go buy your car from or your refrigerator, if your next-door neighbor sells those things, you're going to go see them. So it's all a matter of getting people to trust and believe that when they come to your place, they're going to get exactly what they need. Southwestern Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, we represent a 10-county region. We've been doing this since 1990. I've been here since 94, and I was brought here from California originally because of my relationships in the film industry. We've seen great returns and great repeat business from our relationships. The tax credit program, the incentive program, which 42 states in this country now have some sort of incentive for the film industry, mm-hmm. is a crucial part of our continued success because we have to be able to compete. The film tax credit program leveled the playing field. 5 years ago, we got it to a significant amount, which was $75 million. At that point is when I went to L.A. on a full-time basis. It's when we did our first five-picture deal, and that was with Lionsgate Studios. We've done two films now with Summit Entertainment, which is the Twilight people, and expect to do more. And we just wrapped the biggest production we've ever had, which is The Dark Knight Rises. So things are going exceedingly well here because of the program.
So how does a government-run film office measure success? What numbers are you crunching to say, we're getting it back, we're getting the investments coming back to us?
Well, the Pittsburgh Film Office is actually a 501c3 nonprofit, and we've been that way since 1990. And we actually are contracted with the city, county, and not this year. This fiscal year, we're not getting any state support at all. And we raise all our own funding. How we track what we do is we have an economic impact questionnaire that we give to every accountant on every production, be it a music video that we've worked with, a corporate video that we work with, a small independent film, and the huge blockbusters, where they give us the actual hard numbers of what they spent, hiring local crew, using local vendors, renting local cars, office supplies, everything you can think of. And then we report the hard number. We use no multipliers in our office. I can tell you our union crew base has quadrupled in size in the last 3 years. And it's because of the film tax credit, because we have the need for more trained labor. The car rentals are up 250% from the film industry. Hotel rentals are up over 100% because of the film industry. And those are hard numbers we go back to the vendors and get directly from them. So we know the amount of money coming in. A $75 million tax credit program brought $300 million of verifiable money into Pennsylvania's coffers. $300 million. We spent $75 to get it. The numbers are a no-brainer.
Lisa in Grandview, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi,
tell us about your daughter.
Well, my daughter auditioned for The Ides of March. The rule was that all the sides, all the extras had to be hired from Ohio and Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so all the jobs of extras and sides all went to Ohio or Michigan residents. And she auditioned for a non-speaking part, which was called a featured extra, but mm-hmm. then George Clooney rewrote the script, and so she got what's called a principal speaking part, which basically means you get the highest paid rate. And she got a share, she had her own trailer, she got to, obviously meet George Clooney, because he is the director as well as starring in it, mm-hmm. and Ryan Gosling, and it was just a great experience for us. But, everyone we talked to down there when we were in Cincinnati, she filmed in Cincinnati and Michigan, mm-hmm. Everyone in Cincinnati was part of the production was an Ohio resident. So the people that were the drivers and the assistants, and then I know somebody who was like a grip. I mean, they were all Ohio residents. I mean, I don't know how much money it put into the, into the state of Ohio, but a lot of people were employed. It was a big production. Plus, like if you went into the hotel, everybody there that was staying there was with the film.
And that's pretty typical, Don Keyser. Thank you very much, Lisa, for your call.
Okay,
absolutely. This is all about Pennsylvania. In our case, it's all mm-hmm. about Pennsylvania jobs, and the jobs keep coming, and we keep increasing the amount of people that are able to be hired because of the training that we've been doing and the amount of work that we're seeing. Back in the early '90s, Pittsburgh was one of the top places to make a film, primarily because people weren't going to New York. We had a downgrade after that. We started going down into the lull of the cycle. A lot of people left because my crew is so well-known and so well-trained. They traveled the country to work on films. People took them places because they're so good. They didn't work at McDonald's between movies. They worked on other movies in other states. Once we started picking back up 5 years ago, everybody's come back. More people are moving back. I met one of the producers from Avatar who happens to be from Pittsburgh today. She's moved back. She's bought a house in downtown, and she's thrilled to be here and thrilled to be working. So it's really, we're starting to get all our people back, and I think the industry is just going to continue to grow.
There's the sense that a lot of the work that the film industry brings to places outside of California is the low-level jobs, the drivers, the caterers, that kind of a thing, that the real technicians, film technicians and so forth, they just bring them with them most of the time. Now, that's not the case.
Not in our case. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can crew four full features at a time. Sometimes you're going to bring in a department head, like a director of photography. And, you know, Chris Nolan works with the same director of photography on every Dark Knight film. He brought his director of photography, who might have his very favorite gaffer that he works with, the guy who does the lighting. But then they're going to hire everybody else underneath them. On smaller independent films, which we do a lot of those here, you know, the things under $1 million or below, they're going to give people that next step up. So you get department heads starting to get trained there, whereas they might be an art director one day on the independent film. They've now become a production designer. So they're able to get more training. And because we have so much work going on, we have a lot more independent stuff happening as well. But our people are working, and it's the good, high-paying jobs as well as the right, you know, being a driver on a film is a great deal, and people are excited about that as well.
Is the attraction just the government incentives, or is there more to it? Cheaper labor, given the geography, better locations, more access to locations, that kind of a thing when you go to a place like Pittsburgh?
Well, pre-tax credit, pre-incentives, mm-hmm. The number one reason anyone came to southwestern Pennsylvania was the diversity of locations. We tell people we can look like anything as long as they don't require a beach or a desert. Two things we're missing out here in southwestern PA. But we do have, we've done the Ukraine. We've done San Francisco. We've done Paris. We do New York better than New York does. So location was always key. The second reason they came was the depth of our crew. We always had a good crew base. They're very talented, as I said, and very experienced. You don't usually find that level of crew in this size area. With the added attraction of the film incentive, we've just become one of the best places to film in the country. Some rank us in the top 5, some rank us in the top 10. It depends on what rating you're reading. But the first thing anyone in the industry is looking at today is what the incentives are. The first question out of their mouth used to be, do you have something that looks like this? I need a blue house next to a green barn with a purple dog. Now it's all about, tell me about your incentive program. How much is left in this year's pot? How do I apply to get it? Okay, now let me tell you about my project. So without the incentives, people are left out of the equation. If you look at what's happened in the state of Virginia, in the state of Maryland that used to be very busy, they don't have any work because their incentive programs are pretty much non-existent. It's only the states in this country that have some sort of incentive, like we do for every other business in the world, that they're actually seeing success.
My guest is Dawn Keyser. Dawn is director of the Pittsburgh Film Office. Since 1994, she's attracted dozens of feature film and television projects to the southwestern Pennsylvania region. If you have a question or comment for her, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We're talking about film production incentives and if and how they work to encourage filmmakers to come to the state, in this case, Ohio, in Dawn's case, Pennsylvania. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org if you have some questions or comments for Dawn. Coming up, Josh Radner, TV star and also director and feature film star. There was pressure, Dawn, on Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett to reduce or eliminate the state's film credit. You said it has been eliminated?
No, our film tax credit's fully in place.
Okay.
There was some confusion. We changed administrations. We changed from a Democrat-led governor's office to a Republican-led governor's office, Republican-led Senate, and a Republican-led House. People weren't quite sure where we're going to end up. But I'm thrilled to say Governor Tom Corbett is a huge supporter of the film tax credit, huge supporter of this industry, and is planning on increasing it as long as we continue to get more money into the Commonwealth and continue to do so well with the industry. He came to our Batman press conference, and he really gets it and set it out there publicly. So we currently have a $60 million film tax credit program that started July 1st. I expect our money to go pretty quickly. Probably by early winter, it's going to be gone, and we're going to start working on next year. But we have the full support of the Pennsylvania governor and the legislature.
The film 30 Minutes or Less was shot in Grand Rapids, Michigan this summer. And Grand Rapids, I noticed in an article written about it, is referenced several times in the dialogue, and the city is prominently featured in the film. That's not always the case. Of course, you said Pittsburgh's played Paris before, so it's not meant to be playing itself. But what's it worth in cases like 30 Minutes or Less when the city is part of the story?
Well, I think it depends on the content. Mm-hmm. We never worry about content. I mean, if 30 minutes or less is a great story for Grand Rapids, then it's a good thing, right? If it turns out to be not such a happy thing about Grand Rapids, then it may not be.
Mm-hmm.
We, a lot of times for filmmakers, it's easier for them, and it saves them a lot of money, to place the film where they're shooting. We've had several films come in next 3 days. The Paul Haggis-directed film with Russell Crowe.
Right.
They originally, that was a remake of a film that was set in France, could be shot anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, actually. So Paul wrote it for Pittsburgh and then took advantage of the geographical niceties that we have, the bridges and all the cool architecture, and he wrote that into the script. So then it made it much easier and cheaper for them to shoot because they didn't have to worry about blocking out any quintessential Pittsburgh scenes. So it's always helpful. We really believe that having Dark Knight here has really put Pittsburgh on the map. You can't look up Batman in the last 3.5 weeks and not know that they were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's been everywhere, international, every blog site, every media place. It's really put Pittsburgh on the map at the moment.
I was talking to a lawyer who represents businesses in New Orleans, in the film-related businesses in New Orleans, and she said it has become a problem there where they're filming Tremé, the HBO series. It irritates people. They're getting tired of it, having to drive around the film crews and that kind of a thing. How is that managed?
Well, you know, I think, well, in Pittsburgh at least, we're still excited about it. We haven't been overrun to the point where everybody goes, oh my God, it's another movie. Batman was quite a challenge. It's the first major film we've had in our downtown business corridor for any length of time. They shot 10 days downtown Pittsburgh. The thing that really helps manage it is pre-planning. We were very fortunate. Batman spent 6 months setting up this production before they ever stepped foot here. So being able to sit down and work out a plan, work it out with the city officials, the bus people, and then start getting the information to the public. It's really the key. People just want to know what's going on. They don't want to be stuck in traffic and not understand why. And we just had such great support. You know, people in the Midwest, like in Ohio and in Pennsylvania, we're generally friendly people. And they've welcomed our productions with open arms. I'm not naive enough to believe that if I started shutting down downtown every day for months on end for production, that we wouldn't have a problem. But we worked really hard with the local businesses downtown to make sure everybody knew they were open. We had production assistants on every corner that if you walked up and said, I'm trying to get to Macy's, that you'd be walked right over to Macy's even if they were filming. So we really worked hard. But we were very fortunate to have such a great production partner in Warner Brothers that we did.
One of the issues with incentives, one of the that critics mention, is how much money leaves the state along with the high-paid Hollywood stars. In other words, most reimbursements are for salaries of non-residents. That's according to an Ernst & Young report from 2009.
Well, in Pennsylvania, we cap our ability to award talent, on-camera talent. It's capped at $15 million. So rumor has it Tom Cruise makes $20 million. He's the most that film can get on all their above-the-line talent is a 25% tax credit on the $15 million, and that's only if they spend all $15 million in the Commonwealth. The only out-of-state talent in our tax credit program that gets a tax credit are the ones that paid Pennsylvania taxes. So if they bring in someone from out-of-state, they're paying the Pennsylvania taxes, they're paying the local, you know, the city tax, then the state tax, then they're eligible for a tax credit for the time they're working in Pennsylvania. We don't cover them when they're not here.
Do other states, is that really not a problem, or are other states not doing that?
Other states have set it up differently. I think Massachusetts, it's a matter of just who's on your show. And they count everything on the show. But we really, in Pennsylvania, our program I can stand behind as being very fair to the taxpayer and very fair to the production client. Because you have to spend 60% of your budget here to qualify to receive the 25% tax credit. We audit you. You have to do all this paperwork at the conclusion. And we know every dime you spent, and we know where you've spent it. And if you're a production, if you're an actor, a lot of times they have these things called loan-out companies. So it's a company that's hired themselves. They're the only employee. And they use that sometimes to skirt some tax issues. We require that the loan-outs actually register to do business in the Commonwealth. So then that company is tracked as well. So we really worked hard on crossing every T and dotting every I to make sure we weren't giving money away that didn't need to go anywhere.
All right. Well, Dawn Keyser, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Dawn Keyser is director of the Pittsburgh Film Office. She's been attracting dozens of feature film and television projects to the southwestern Pennsylvania region since 1994. Coming up, we have a film producer, and we also have a film director and TV star, Josh Radner. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thank you.
On the next Fresh Air, heirloom tomatoes, artisan bread, and a whole new way to think about food. We'll talk with Alice Waters, the matriarch of locally sourced sustainable cuisine. She inspired an entire generation of chefs and home cooks, and her new memoir documents 40 years at her restaurant, Chez Panisse. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon here on 89.7 NPR News. 71 degrees with sunny skies in downtown Columbus. Sunshine throughout the day today and warming up to a high of 78. Clear skies tonight and a low of 55 degrees. Sunshine for Tuesday and a high of 82. Partly cloudy Tuesday night and a low of 61 degrees. And then some sunshine as we look ahead to Wednesday. Also a slight chance of rain and a high of 87. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about the film industry in Ohio. Joining us right now is television star, feature film writer and director and star, Josh Radner. He's perhaps best known for his role as Ted, the central character in CBS's Emmy-nominated comedy, How I Met Your Mother. Josh joined us last year to talk about Happy Thank You More Please. Josh wrote, directed, and starred in the film, which debuted at the 2010 Sundance Film Festival, where it won Audience Award for Favorite U.S. Drama. Josh is currently directing his second feature film. It's called Liberal Arts, which he also wrote, and he will star in as well. Liberal Arts is being filmed in Gambier and also Columbus. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you for having me.
Happy Thank You More Please had something to say about location, location, location. One of the couples in that film was torn between Los Angeles and New York City, and the flyover states really didn't seem to be much of an option. But they are as a filmmaker, right?
What'd you say?
But they are an option when you're a filmmaker.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Well, yeah, that's Happy Thank You More Please was such a New York film. And
it was about the city, partly, yeah.
Yeah, this film, Liberal Arts, is part of it takes place in New York City, but its heart is in Ohio, I would say, as is a big part of mine.
It will receive a $229,909, not that we're picking nits here, dollar motion picture tax credit from Ohio to shoot in Gambier around Kenyon College, as well as in the city of Columbus. The project, according to the state, is expected to hire about 170 Ohioans as part of the cast and crew. Could you afford to shoot here without the tax credit?
I don't know. I'm not exactly a numbers guy, mm-hmm. so I don't know how the numbers work out. I know it's a big help. When you're making independent films, everything's a big help. So to get to get some help from the state is immeasurably helpful.
Joining us now is Matthew Myers. Matt is the producer, co-producer, or executive producer of more than 17 films, including Griffin and Phoenix, Then She Found Me, and Speak, a film shot on location in Columbus and starring a then 13-year-old Kristen Stewart in one of her first leading roles. Matt now lives in Bexley. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for having me in.
Matt, as far as filmmaking goes, how big of a deal are the tax incentives from the states?
Well, they're a huge deal, and the industry at large pays a lot of attention to them, and there's a lot of analysis that's constantly being done to know what the lay of the land is at all times, because for most of these pictures and shows that are filming in various states, I think there are about 38 states now that offer some kind of incentive. It's really the difference between sometimes making a film, a financing package work, and sometimes not. Because very often, especially with, some of the lower budget productions, the ability to monetize those tax credits and turn that into part of the financing package is kind of crucial, because every penny counts. And the difference between going to, say, New Mexico to shoot is often, studied against shooting in Ohio or Michigan or Louisiana or any of the states that offer these credits.
Josh, did you return to film your latest project in Gambier for sentimental reasons, because it's the home of your alma mater, Kenyon College, or was there more to it than that?
No, that was pretty much the only reason. I went back and showed Happy Thank You More Please at the college last April, I think. And while I was there, I was seized with an idea for another movie. So I spent the next 4 or 5 months writing the movie, and I set it completely at the college. You know, when I described the bookstore or the chapel or the or Middle Path, I was talking about Kenyon. So when we got the financing, it was of great concern to me to be able to film there. Happily, the producers agreed, and happily, the college agreed.
Is it difficult to convince people to come to another state to leave California anymore and work on films in places like Ohio, Matt?
No. there seems to be less and less work at certain levels of production out in California. Most of what is going on in New York and California these days is television. So if you're an entrenched, well-established TV show, you know, trying to amortize your costs, very often it makes more sense to sort of stay put in California or New York. But if you're doing features where you're starting from scratch and building a movie and putting it together, most of the time those features are going on the road to try to find the best deal that they can to take the soft money part of the state incentive and try to combine that, you know, with whatever equity they're putting in or pre-sales or, you know, their financing package. So it seems to me that more often than not, it's the feature length projects that are not shy about leaving. But when it comes to TV, they're probably going to stay put, with some exceptions. I mean, there are TV shows shooting in Georgia and Atlanta and New Mexico. Mm-hmm. In Albuquerque, they shoot Breaking Bad. And there are shows that have set up tents and, down in New Orleans and places like that.
Josh Radner, are there downsides to shooting in a place like Gambier? Gambier.
We were expecting no sound difficulties, but there, you know, the chapel bell rings pretty regularly, and that kind of annoyed us. the college and the town, they couldn't have been more warmly receptive of us. So, my big problem with making movies on the scale that I do is, I can say it in one word, it's time. And it's, you know, we shot, I think the total days on this film would be 21, 22 days. Actually, we owe a shot in New York, so you could maybe say it was a 23-day shoot. But really, both of my films have been made on that time schedule, and it's really, it's no joke. I mean, how fast you're moving. Like a big feature, you know, big Hollywood feature with, 40, 50 days would shoot about 2 pages a day. We're shooting somewhere, you know, around 5 or 6 pages a day, sometimes 7-page days, which is really head spinningly fast. So, Gambier has nothing to do with that. That's just the way mm-hmm. my films are shot.
My guess, that's Josh Radner, back again. He's currently directing his second feature film, Liberal Arts, which he also wrote. He will star in the film as well. Liberal Arts is being filmed in Gambier and Columbus. Also with us is Matt Meyer. Matt is a producer, co-producer, or executive producer of more than 17 films, including Speak. It was a film shot on location in Columbus and starred a then 13-year-old Kristen Stewart. Matt lives in Bexley. Josh is from Bexley. Matt, what's it like living in a place like the Midwest and like Columbus and Bexley when you're doing the sort of job you're doing?
Well, you know, as I'm sure Josh can attest to, I mean, there's so much time that goes into developing these projects and, you know, scripts that are being, you know, written and optioning underlying material like novels and, you know, things that become movies, and that a lot of that work is desk work. A lot of that work is phone work. A lot of that work is emails and FedExes. And you know, for me, it's a great way to sort of have a normal life, because I can sort of have a lovely sort of quote unquote ordinary existence, you know, where I can, you know, be with my wife, and she, you know, she's working at Capital University, and I can get on a plane if I have to go eat lunch or, you know, have a meeting or something. And so for most of the part, it's like pretty evenly divided, sort of half of the year I'm on the road, roughly, and half of the year I'm at home. So, you know, I'd rather be, you know, with my family and everything, and not have to worry about, you know, living in Los Angeles or New York. I mean, I lived in New York almost all my life, but, you know, to me, it's a really great balance, and I really love it.
When you're producing your films, when you're making your films, Matt, how much does the location inform the film necessarily?
A huge deal. I mean, it's a great deal. Everything about the location is what drives the film. You know, and we shot, and sometimes you film in places that aren't the exact location. For example, we shot a picture in Michigan with Ed Harris and Jennifer Connelly called What's Wrong with Virginia that Lance Black wrote and directed. And we were looking, the whole movie took place in Virginia Beach, but Virginia didn't have as tasty as tax credit as Michigan had at the time. So we decided to shoot on Lake Michigan in the town of Holland. And that really worked because it was, you know, had all the looks that we wanted, a beachfront sort of community. It had the lake, which looks like the ocean. It has surf, it has sand.
It really does, people.
It does. I mean, so it didn't really matter that, I mean, we shot the whole thing in Western Michigan, with the exception of some second unit work that we did, you know, on the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey, which is also not Virginia Beach, but looks like the boardwalk in Virginia Beach. So by the time you cut it all together and you shoot there, if you get the angles right, and you build a couple of sets and do that kind of thing, then it really works out. So for us, it was always, it's not so much about that it has to be in the exact location, but can we duplicate or mimic that location in the script somewhere else? So that's sort of why we're always on the road trying to find out, you know, well, can we shoot in Albuquerque or should we shoot this in New Orleans? And sometimes these scripts are, you know, anywhere USA. So it's also about finding the right architecture and making sure that fits in with the plan.
Our previous guest, Don Keyser, who is director of the Pittsburgh Film Office, said that sometimes they just rewrite the script to fit the place.
Yeah, and we've done that a lot. You know, we will do that to make the script, you know, more authentic. So, for example, you know, if the movie was set, I did a picture where the movie was set in New York, and we just switched the location to Detroit because we happened to be in Detroit, and again, they were offering very enticing tax credits at the time. So the movie became a real Detroit movie.
Josh Radner, did you use all Ohio residents for extras?
Yeah, we did. We actually ran a little contest at out of the Drexel Theater when Happy Thank You More Please was playing there. People could, you know, throw their hat in the ring, quite literally. And we called a bunch of those people. You know, we picked a bunch of people out of that pool. And I don't know. We actually put a recent Kenyan grad named Will Arbery in charge of our extras casting. He did an amazing job. He turned up people every day when we needed them. And, you know, that's a tough gig being an extra, actually. It's not super glamorous and you're there for hours and hours and hours and you have to fake talk behind the actual scene going on.
So they are faking it. Okay.
Yeah. We had a, you know, they're mouthing words, but you can't hear anything or it'll ruin the sound. So, we had a great experience with our background, and so people in Ohio really know how to do that somehow.
And you turned it into a learning experience for some Kenyan students?
Yeah, we had, we probably had 10 or 12, maybe 15 Kenyan students at various points in production. A lot of them were with us the whole time, recent grads, current students, and we put them to work. I mean, they really, I would watch them around set and I would think, man, this is invaluable to get this kind of experience. They didn't even have to leave the college. This film production just came to them. And, you know, I surround myself with amazing people. So for them to watch a great cinematographer, a great production designer, a great first AD, and really see how a film is made, I was really happy to be able to help them have that experience.
And Matt Meyer, what are the other allures of a place such as Ohio besides the tax credits and, you know, the ease of movement? Are there any, or is it just about money?
It's a little of both. When we shot Speak for Showtime in 2003, You know, there were no tax incentives at the time. We chose to shoot in Columbus because it had the look we were after, but also because, you know, selfishly I was moving to Columbus and I wanted to shoot near my home, and the network allowed us to do it. But originally the novel that the movie's based on was set in Syracuse, and Syracuse and Columbus kind of have a lot in common. And when we started scouting, I said, well, we really need a place that's kind of all-American anywhere, USA city. And when we looked at Columbus, you know, the director and I just sort of fell in love with the look of what was available in German Village. And there's some very unique things about the city. And so we chose that not without really considering the financial impact, although it was, you know, substantially cheaper to book hotels and substantially cheaper to rent cars and food and, you know, all the basic stuff that you need to run a movie. So in some sense, it was a financial decision, but not one that was incentivized. And there was not many movies that shot in Columbus at that point. This was before, you know, Josh made his movie there. But, you know, we were trying to find a look that we wanted, and it had that. I think Ohio has a lot of things to offer. There's, you know, 30 minutes outside the city, you're in the country, in the farmland, beautiful old towns that are just, you know, fantastic and great, you know, architecture. You can go up and get the urban environment in Cleveland and Cincinnati, and you've got rivers, and you've got Lake Erie, which looks like the ocean. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of variety that you get being a state that's on one of the Great Lakes. There's even in Ashtabula County, there's like vineyards. We were scouting up there for something, another picture, and it was like there's tons of wineries and vineyards. I mean, it looks like you could, you know, shoot up there for, you know, Napa Valley. If you shoot it right, you don't look too far ahead in the distance. So, you know, it's like it's a very, very interesting state, and it has a lot of different things to offer, I think.
Josh, your show, your story is based in Gambier and Kenyon College, but can you ever imagine coming back to Ohio just because it's a good deal?
Just because as a filmmaker or
yes.
As a resident?
As a filmmaker.
Yeah, certainly. I agree with everything Matt said. Another thing that was that I wasn't quite prepared for, I knew that I loved Kenyon and Gambier, but I wasn't prepared for how much my crew would fall in love with the experience of being there. And, I mean, these were people from, we had crew from New York, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and they took full advantage of Central Ohio. People were, you know, doing inner tubing on the river and bike rides on the trail and barbecuing. And so we had them living in dorms. I mean, we made it a whole Kenyon College experience. And people were really emotional when they left after a month or 5 weeks of being there. And even saying, you know, I'm going to send my kid here.
Josh Radner, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for coming again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Josh Radner, film director, actor, writer, and also Matt Meyer. Matt, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Matt Meyer, film producer. Matt lives in Bexley. Josh is from Bexley. Thanks for joining us today. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.